Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. So praise God. So recap, done. Another recap. Well, not necessarily recap. We'll just kick it off from there. We ended yesterday. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Join faith with me again, if you don't mind. Father, we thank you. We thank you for revelation. We thank you for illumination. We thank you for understanding. We thank you. We thank you once again. Thank you for every hearer right now and every hearer hereafter. Thank you because I'm anointed to teach and to preach your word. Thank you because we're all anointed to receive and to bear fruit. And we thank you for this revelation that you bring to us by your spirit. Thank you because we bear fruit accordingly in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. All right. So we stopped yesterday by saying, so what exactly is influencing you? What are you filled with? What's filling you up? Very important. But let's run again over certain important facts. Number one, you could be born of the spirit, but then you are not living a spirit-filled life. And I think we made that very clear. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church who were born of the spirit. And then he said to them, hey, you guys are carnal, all right? You guys are babies. There's a whole lot of stuff happening. And I'm sure all of us have entered that baby carnal behavior here and there. And all that, it means at those particular points in time, we're not living the spirit-filled life, all right? So it's possible to be born of the spirit, but not live a spirit-filled life. We also said it's possible to have a spirit living in you, but then you're not living a spirit-filled life. The Corinthian church again, Paul was saying to them, don't you know that you are the temple of God and then that the spirit of God lives in you? Don't you know? All right. So they were living like they didn't know. They lived like the spirit of God wasn't living inside of them. That's how they were living. So it is possible. You know, it is very, very, very possible, you know, that you have a spirit living in you, and then you're just not living that spirit-filled life. It is possible. We said again that you could have the gifts of the spirit operating through you. And I want you to understand, it's possible to have the gifts of the spirit operating through you. And then I have a spirit-filled life. And we saw again in the Corinthian church. Paul's writing to them in 1 Corinthians 13, you may speak the tongues of men and the tongues of angels, but then you do not display agape. Hey, you are making noise. And that's what Paul said to them. You're just a cymbal that is just out of course, out of order, and just clanging and banging, you know, all across the whole place. And Paul said, it is noisy. Thanks. Maybe we should just read that again. Do I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, and become a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal? That is an awful amount of noise, if you understand what that is. It is an awful amount of noise. It is horrible. All right. So he says, but they have the gifts of the spirit. And Paul says, that's not all about living a spirit-filled life. Okay. We could have, you know, prophecy and tongues and interpretation of tongues, and we could have all of that, but then we're not living a spirit-filled life. And so we're coming there. We said we could live in the spirit, and Galatians 5 and 25 says, if so be that we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. Did you get that? If so be that we live in the spirit. Oh, I live in the spirit. I live in the spirit. Yeah, you do, but you walk in it. And I explained yesterday that there are different degrees and explanation to living in the spirit or being in the spirit. Okay, so we are in the spirit. Everybody born of the spirit is in the spirit. You're born of spirit, so you are. And then in Revelations 1, John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. So when you now see visions, see angels, hear revelations, and fall into trances, it's still spirit. What's the difference? It's you now have a heightened degree of sensitivity. You have a heightened degree of awareness. You're there, but now you're more aware of where you are. So it's more of an awareness thing. All right, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. So you could talk in tongues, all right? You could. And in Acts 2, verse 4, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they were filled. They did speak with tongues, all right? But then doesn't mean that they live spirit-filled life. So we saw. So I want you to, let's just stay with this, Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So Peter was one of the people here. Then we'll go to Acts chapter 4, verse 8. So Peter was with them here. They spoke in tongues. You know, they were filled and they spoke in tongues. So in Acts chapter 4 now, please. In Acts chapter 4 and the 8th chapter, in chapter 3, Peter and John, you know, at the hour of prayer, minister to, you know, the man impotent in his feet on their way to the temple. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers, and he began to, you know, speak by, watch this now, filled with the Holy Ghost. That means he began to speak by the influence of the Spirit. Utterance was given to him. So this wasn't just Peter feeling like blabbing, or Peter prepared his speech and he said, I'm going to say something. If you remember, Jesus had told them, all right, that men will arrest you. They will charge you to court. He said, but do not meditate on what you're going to say when you get there, because what you will say will be given to you at that time. Jesus had told them, what you will say will be given to you at that time. So there is such a speech that will be accurate, that will cut through, that will make so much impact, and you didn't premeditate it. Did you get that? You just didn't premeditate it. So we got to get this. So the same Peter now in the 31st chapter of Acts 4, so they had released him and John. They went to the rest of the disciples to explain to them what the guys had done to them. They lifted up their voices to pray. We get to that 31st verse, and Bible tells us after this prayer, the building where they were meeting shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached the word with boldness. This is amazing. This is amazing. Peter got filled in Acts 2:4. Peter was filled in Acts 4:8. Peter was filled in Acts 4:31. How many times does he want to be filled? How many times does he want to be filled? I mean, we see, you know, in the life of Paul, in Acts 9 and the 17th verse, Acts 9, 17, Jesus has sent Ananias to go to minister to Paul, to lay hands on him. And then Ananias gets there, you know, and says, Paul, I have come. And Ananias went and found Saul and said unto him, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, whom appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So Paul got filled with the Holy Ghost right here in Acts 9. But the same Paul now in Acts chapter 13 and the 9th verse, Acts 13 and 9, we see an amazing thing, just like we saw in the life of Peter and Saul, also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked at the sorcerer in the eye and said, you know, it was by the Spirit. It wasn't him just being angry and I need to say something. Sometimes those angers don't work. You say the wrong stuff. You say the wrong stuff. But Paul was filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Paul was filled with the Spirit. So we see here, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost. It's amazing. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 and the 18th verse. You know what? Let's just pick it from the 17th verse, Ephesians 5 and 17. So Paul now is writing, and the Holy Ghost through Paul enlightens us, okay? The Holy Ghost through Paul enlightens us. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Okay, did you get that? Be ye not unwise, but guys, understand what the will of the Lord is. So what's the will of God? Now the 18th verse, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine. And I mentioned yesterday three things to note in this verse. So just keep your eyes on the verse and let me explain it. Number one, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. You don't get drunk if you're not drinking. All right, so there is an effort here. Be not drunk on wine. So that's a caution and, you know, correction. Don't be drunk on wine, but be. It didn't say God will fill you. Now there's a God filling, but this one is not God. Please notice, it didn't say God will fill you. It said be not drunk on wine, but be, meaning you do it. You be filled. So one, you notice an intentionality here. And then number two, you notice consistency. You might wonder, where's intentionality? Be filled. Don't be drunk on wine, but be filled, all right? Don't be late, meaning it's within your power to be or not to be. Don't be late. So don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Intentionality. Okay, number two, you see, like I said, you know, you see consistency. How? You have to be drinking to get drunk. You have to be feeling to get filled. You have to feel till it's filled. So there has to be consistent effort to it. There must be intentionality. There must be consistency. And number three, there's a level of intoxication. You're drunk. You're filled. So you're full till there's an overflow. You're full till you're run over. You're full till you're God-possessed or wine-possessed. You know, you understand what I'm saying? And when someone is intoxicated, that person, you and I know, will not act normally. All right? The person will say and do things the person wouldn't say normally. So God is saying there's such a life. That there's such a life. There's such a life. There's such a life. And there are varying degrees in this thing. Varying degrees in it. Kenny Higgin was ministering. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I mean, he was ministering in a meeting. Normal like ministering. And then this lady came up, you know, in that meeting. And while ministering, Higgin jumped off the pulpit, pounced on her like a cat, right? Landed on the woman, laid hands on her. And guess what? I want to remember this particular part correctly. But then anyway, she had a large size. I think there were things like tumors and all of that in her. And she shrunk right there in that meeting, right there. The man jumped off stage. Guess what? He didn't recollect all of that. Those kinds of things happen. There are varying degrees in this thing. But you must be a drinker to get drunk. All right? At least, even if you're not a drinker, maybe, yeah, you were initiated into it, or someone just introduced you, rather, into drinking, or they set you up and all of that. Fine, you could get drunk just once. But for you to be called a drunkard, and that's where God is taking us to. Don't get drunk on wine, but be filled. So let's see the amplified version, that Ephesians 4:18. All right? So King James says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Amplified says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery. But ever be filled. Ever. It means you got drunk and say, get drunk again. Glory to God. Get drunk again. Get good. And you can't get drunk if you don't go back to drink. Get drunk again. So this is us positioning ourselves and setting ourselves to be drunk to stupor. Glory to God. Why? In order to give him room to say through us, to do through us, those things that he will do, that our senses, our limitations, our natural selves will in no way bring a hindrance to. Did you get that? You know, not I'm shy. I can't go up. Come on, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. So that you lose that self of you, me, self. And maybe they always go. You need to be filled to know when to stop. Maybe it just pauses you. And he sure knows how to put a pause on people. Okay, he knows how to do that. He'll pause you. He can, all right? So he can. I mean, he knocked Paul off a horse. He put Peter in a trance. He knows how to do that, all right? He got Ezekiel stuck and his mouth opened from one evening to the next evening. Yes, in the Bible, Ezekiel was, I remember that was, Ezekiel was just stuck, all right? From one evening to the next evening, the man just stood there. It was just there. So there are mighty manifestations and moves of the Spirit. And if you've ever read God's journals before, you know, we're told that Mother Etta, you know, Maria Woodward Etta, got, you know, she was ministering and she just stayed like 3 days. Stayed one spot, one place, just stayed, just fixed in the Holy Ghost, Hallelujah. Just there. And then on the third day, she just picked up her sermon from where she left off. Like nothing happened. Did you get that? There are varying degrees in this thing. Varying degrees. You lay hands on people, and I've seen those before. I mean, I remember back then, you know, laid hands on someone, person was on the floor till the next day, person did not recollect. Or, I mean, how many times did you laid hands on? I thought it was once. No, you laid hands on like three, person was gone. All right, there have been meetings where someone is on the floor and people are trying to pick the person up and nobody can come close to the person to lift, you know, the person up. From fact, the person doesn't even know, you know, not aware people have been carried to their homes. They knew they were in church. The next thing they woke up, they were on their bed. How did they get to the? They don't know. They didn't recollect it. All right. So, and it's amazing. So there's a let us get drunk, and let us drink. But let's become drunkards. Let's keep drinking. We gotta go to Joel's bar and drink and get drunk. But I need to lay this full foundation, because when we talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost, that's all that comes to the mind of folk. That's all, you know, glory to God, woo, and let's run around, and it's fine. But that's not all the Bible said about it. That's all the Bible said about it, you know. I mean, hallelujah. Let me show you something. Now that I'm at this, that will be Luke. It must have been Luke. That'll be Luke 4. Thank you, Lord. That'll be Luke 4. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So Luke 4:1. Luke 4:1. Just play with a few versions and let me see what they bring out in just using their own English and without going to original form. And Jesus being full, watch this now, of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led of the Spirit to the wilderness. I know you know, all right, this was when it was, you know, verse 2 now tells, maybe just read verse 2 for context sake. So verse 2, you know, tells us that Jesus being 40 days tempted, Luke 4 and then the second verse. Verse 2. All right, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days, he didn't eat anything. All right, then he was hungry. Then the devil came and tempted him. So this leads to the whole temptation story. All right, but the first verse says, Jesus being full of the Spirit. Thank you. Jesus, you know, so being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days, he didn't eat nothing. And then, you know, he was hungry. So he was full of the Spirit. You saw that in verse 1. You saw that in verse 1. All right, so go back to that verse 1. And then let us play around with like what now? 3, 4 versions. So Jesus being full of Holy Ghost returned from Jordan and was led. So he was led. Like I'm led, all right? So I'm led. Okay, so let's see what now? Amplified. Okay, thank you. Okay, this is great. So led of the Spirit into the wilderness. Okay, cool. What? NLT, TPT, Amplified. Okay, this is NLT. Amplified, TPT. Everybody's giving the same thing. All right, so Jesus full and controlled by the Holy Ghost returned from Jordan. I was led by Spirit into the wilderness. Okay. What do you want to give me? TBT. All right. So from the moment of his baptism, Jesus was overflowing with the Holy Spirit. He was taken by the Spirit from Jordan into the Lordly wilderness. So so this is beginning to come close to what I want. He was taken by the Spirit into the wilderness. The word led here is not there's energy in it. That's so I was trying to play around with it. I would have checked them better before, so I wasn't intending to go that far. Let's see. Da 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 da. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let me try and read what the Greek says here. So by implication, it is led. All right. But watch this now. So if you have a Strong's Concordance, you could check. So Luke 4:1 and then just check led that is used here. All right. So don't bother about the Greek word. I'll just give you what it's saying. So properly to lead by implication to bring drive. So that's what I was looking for in those versions. So it's the lead, but there's a force behind it to bring drive reflexively, go specifically, past time, figuratively, to induce. All right. So to bring forth, to carry. So carry, TPT use carry, to carry, to go, keep, lead, you know, keep a way open. You know, so lead is fine, but one of the meanings here is to drive, to bring forth, to there's an energy about this thing, energy about it. So I'm saying that to say, you know, Kenny Hagin had this meeting many years ago. It was titled "When the Spirit Gets to Moving," All right. And always beautiful. I mean, it's always great when Kenyon has a meeting and then maybe Keith Moore is there and then there's a song in a spirit. And then Keith Moore came up and began to sing, when a spirit gets to moving, let him move. Did you get that? So I might need to write that down. When the spirit gets to moving, let him move. When the spirit gets to moving, let him move, let him move, let him move, let him move. Usually we have that in mind for church services, for meetings and all of that. But sometimes even in your private life, even in your private time, the Holy Ghost could compel you like a drive, like it's energetic inside you. So it's not a forceful, evil, wicked drive, but it's a forceful, glorious, holy drive. There's a, I got to get that thing done now. It's a holy drive about it. You just know, you know, maybe for someone, start that thing now. Start. Now there's a, and the more you are in tune with the spirit, you will know. You will know the difference. You will tell the difference. You just know it's today. God wants me to do it today. God wants you to do it now. Don't waste any time. Drive. There's a drive. All right. There's a drive. I remember many years ago, God needed me to do something. All right. I've been sensing I wasn't clear about it. I still remember where in the room at the house, my parents' house, where I was sitting. I remember, as I'm talking to you now, I recall. Now, does that mean, hey, you know, I may not recall everything like that, but that one, I recall it. I remember where I sat and I remember what God, now, it was clear. Now, you're doing this now. Woof, okay. All right, so you jump right into it. So I just wanted to bring that from where we were into that. There's a moving of the spirit. There's a yielding to the spirit. So Paul, again in Ephesians chapter 4, and then the 18th Amplified, Ephesians 4:18, the Amplified, is telling us that, hey, you should be filled constantly, consistently, all the time. You know, you should be. Ephesians 5:18, thank you. Ephesians 5:18, the Amplified. And then he says, hey, be, you know, constantly yielded to this, you know, flow with this. Glory to God. Glory to God. Flow with it. It says, do not get drunk with wine, for this is debauchery, but ever be filled. Hallelujah. Don't just get filled last week. And don't just tell me you were, you know, filled in the Holy Ghost in church this morning. Ever. Get a bottle of wine and let's, can we do this, man? And this is it, guys. This is it. I'm not teaching this from a point of perfection. You know, I'm sitting on my high chair and I'm telling you this is what the Word of God said. No. If you did get the email I sent out about 2 weeks now, I said it there. I mean, I've taught faith. Some of you have heard me teach it for years. But sometime last year, the Lord began to talk to me a lot more about words. A lot more about the power of words. He was beginning to show. I saw pictures. And I don't always see trance, you know, falling into a trance and vision. But then when he talks to me, I could see an image, you know, and all of that. So, and then I saw the authority and where this thing is taking me to. I got the whole point. And then, like I sincerely wrote in an email, I let it slip. I, you know, when you say, I'll do it. And then the whole thing just, you know, slips away from you. I wrote all that in the email, if you got it. You know, but glory to God. All right. Then he brings materials your way. He brings reminders your way. The Holy Ghost strengthens you, reminds you and all of that. So I'm not teaching this from that point of, so I came here to tell you. No, with each meeting, I'm also taking steps higher. I'm also, you know, venturing further and deeper into the glorious destiny God has for me. And I'm excited to be with you on this journey for you also. So we share these things together, walk through these things together. Imagine if we endeavor to put to work all that we've learned so far, all that we're learning this 2022, where would we be by December? Oh my goodness. Like, oh my goodness. Where would we be by December? All right. So we drink till we get drunk. So Paul says, be ever filled. Ever filled. Be ever filled. And then be stimulated with the Holy Ghost. Ever. It's not a one-time thing. Peter didn't do it one time. We have three records of it. And I'm sure there were so many of that. Paul, we have two records. And then I'm sure there were so many of that. And if you look at the life of Stephen, so let's see Acts 6, and then we'll begin to run into the other aspects of today. In Acts 6 again, so they needed to select people. So the third verse of Acts chapter 6, so Acts 6 from verse 3, we could maybe, thank you. Wherefore, brethren, look ye amongst yourself, seven men, of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we appoint over this business. If everybody in the church were full of the Holy Ghost, they wouldn't be telling them to look for people full of the Holy Ghost. But this is a church, so they would have gone, glory to God, and all those kind of churchy things we all do, but then doesn't mean they live their spirit-filled life. You have to understand this verse and the light this verse alone shows us. A church of 10,000 people, and then they said, look amongst yourself, seven people, of honest people full of the Holy Ghost, and they were able to dig out seven in 10,000. All right. So I don't know how long the whole process might have taken. So maybe, maybe they found, they found what, like 1,000 first, and they had a downsize to seven. Maybe so. No, please stay on that verse. We're going there right away. Thank you. So it's important you understand this, that as large as a church is, or as small as a church is, or as you, an individual, you, me, doesn't mean we're filled with the Holy Ghost every day. So this is a challenge for us, all right? And the same place, a whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. They knew this brother. Come on. So my brother, my sister, can people begin to know us like this? Oh, that sister, she's full of the Holy Ghost. She's full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that brother, he's full of the Holy Ghost. Can they know us? All right, full of the Holy Ghost. It's an effort. Oh, not they prophesy. It's a completely different conversation right there. All right. So we'll go to verse 8 again of the Acts 6. And then the 8th verse. So Stephen is known to be full of the Holy Ghost. Now we're told again, and Stephen, full of faith and power. How is he full of faith? Don't forget, faith means words. It was full of the word, full of faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So it was full of the word and power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. So right here, you could just read it as it was full of the word and of the Holy Ghost. And he did great wonders and miracles, amongst the people, okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. I guess everybody can hear me now. All right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, so we've got to get this. Being full of the Holy Ghost is expected of us all the time. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, all right? And then the third verse. We read it yesterday. We've got to read it again, and then we'll run from there. 1 Corinthians 12 and then 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and then verse 3. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. Thank you. Amen. All right. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God. So notice, no man speaking, utterance, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no man can say Jesus is Lord by the Spirit. No man can say, all right? So now we'll switch that. I'll explain this later, but let's switch to Amplified, and then I'll show you again what I showed you yesterday. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. When the Spirit gets to moving, let him move. Glory to God. When the Spirit gets to moving, someone needs to hear that. When the Spirit gets to moving, let him move. Let him move. Let him move. The more you let, the more you allow the Spirit to move, you realize that there is a consistent and continuous flow. So you have to reduce your letting of your flesh to move, and then allow the Spirit to move. Allow. Let him move. Let him move. Let him move. It might sometimes seem old, but it just seemed just like a good idea. If it's good and it bears witness and it's okay, yield to it. And then the more you do that, you're letting the Spirit move through you. Hallelujah. Let the Spirit move. Let the Spirit move through you in being a blessing to someone in words and in whatever it is. Let the Spirit move. All right. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit can ever say, Jesus be cursed. No one can really say, Jesus is my Lord, except by and under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. Nobody can say that, all right? But what I'm bringing out from here is there's such a thing as the power and the influence of the Holy Ghost. So question, guys, if I am born again, born of the Spirit, all right, tongue talking, and all of that. On a day-to-day basis, what do I allow to influence me? What do I allow to, you know, fill me? All right. So now Holy Ghost fills me from within, but then I could allow stuff get into my head, into my mind, and then they run my thoughts. If you understand, you know, what I'm saying. And yesterday, I believe we mentioned fear. Romans chapter 8 and the 15th verse says, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You have not received. In case you're here and you get scared from time to time or ever so often, write this verse, note this verse, chew this verse. I have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. I have not received. I mean, it's easy to sing it. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Yeah. And we need more songs. Okay. Songs help. Some people don't remember what their pastor said, but they remember the song. So we do need more songs. However, don't just sing them. Okay. You have to live them. You have to digest it. If not, we'll be known for singing. Okay. You know, just saying, I'm no longer afraid to fear. And please don't just post it also on social media, on your status. Don't just do that. Digest. Don't be too, you know, out there about what you need to share with people, or just have to quickly post something Christianese or churchy or nice, and then it's not in your heart. These are some of the ways we keep getting those kind of confusions in the body of Christ. And they say, oh, but she's always counseling us. And then she's always so there for us. So what happened to her? What might have happened to her? Could have been she was putting it out, but she wasn't feeding on it. She wasn't digesting it. Don't. Many other things could be happening. And I understand that. But one of the areas is we neglect ourselves. Paul said in Acts 20, take heed to yourselves and then to the flock over whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Take heed to yourself. Ministry is sweet. You want to counsel someone and give someone a word and you know, you want to do all of that. Fantastic. But are you feeding on this thing? Are you, you know, thank you, Gabriel. Are you digesting this thing? Acts chapter 20 and then verse 28, take heed. Therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. But two instructions, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. All right. So we love to tend the flock and be there. You find people who could counsel also, you know, get affected, get hurt, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Feed. So that you are ministering from the overflow. You know, Creflo Dollar calls it treachery against our spirits. And I've been there, all right, where you're ministering more from, you're tired, you're drained, you're everything. Now, yeah, that could be it, and you're still endeavoring not to. But this one is you're not doing it as much. If you're doing it and then the workload is still making you wear out, doesn't mean, you know, but this is you're not loading up as much as you're giving out. You've got to give out. I just want to encourage you, all right? Don't be condemned if that's what you've been doing. Just tell yourself, I got to give out. But then I've got to load up. I've got to load up a whole lot, all right? You've got to load up a whole lot, all right? So I hope that helped. We've not been given the spirit of bondage again to fear. Say this with me. I refuse to fear. I refuse to fear. I refuse fear to lead me, to drive me, to drag me. I refuse fear to determine my actions. I refuse to fear. I hope I wasn't too fast for you. I refuse to fear, all right? I refuse fear to lead me, to drive me, or to determine my actions. I refuse it, all right? Because what we allow to fill us is what will move us. It's been said that a man's life will move in the direction of his most dominant thoughts. Did you get that? A man's life would move in the direction of his most dominant thoughts. And then the thought comes gradually, filling up. And then we keep allowing it. And then it grows within us. And then it moves us. I've ever slapped somebody before, you know. Now, sometimes they are not premeditated, but sometimes you've been, one day I'm going to do it, one day I'm going to do it, one day I'm going to do it, and then one day, boom, you did it, you know. But like I said, sometimes not premeditated. Oh, some of that funny thing you might have done. It was initially thought, and then the pictures built, imaginations built. And I know some things just, you know, can jump from 0 to 100 anyway. These things happen to us differently. All I'm trying to say is don't let that drive you. Don't let it be what leads you. Don't let it be what determines your action, your movement, not fear. Fear is not of us. Fear paralyzes. Fear torments. Fear is like a cage. There are people who don't fly because of fear. And I've had the privilege of flying a couple of times, and almost every time, there'll just be that something's going to go wrong. Something's going to go wrong with that flight. Something's going to go wrong with that. But then you know it's fear. If you don't know the difference, you won't be able to deal with it. And then it comes and you'll say, I don't feel like going again. And then it almost sounds spiritual. Almost sounds like I'm not led. But something is leading you. Fear is leading you. You do get that. Fear is leading you. All right. So Ephesians and then chapter 4, verse 26. What's influencing you? What's leading you? Ephesians 4 and then the 26th verse of Ephesians chapter 4. So important. We're just checking a couple of things that could lead us. All right, it says, be angry, sin not. Let not the sun go down on your anger. Be angry. Oh, I'm not okay with this. I'm okay. It's all right. Don't sin. Now, but the truth is, most people don't know where to draw the line. And usually your anger was given so that you could attack the devil and other satanic things. Okay, not for people and stuff. All right. Oh, but I hurt you. Where do you draw the line? But don't let the sun go down on your anger. Someone said, oh, that means I can get angry in the morning so I have enough time before the sun comes or before the sun goes down and all of that kind of stuff. But I want you to see something. So it says, be angry, but sin not, let not go down in anger. Next verse, now 27, neither give place to the devil. So he puts it this way, sounds like two separate ideas and two separate instructions, but let's see what the NLT says and how it says. I want you to see something here. So verse 26, NLT, and then we'll do 26 into 27. Don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. We're talking about being filled, spirit-filled life. So this one is sounding like the person is now filled with what now? Anger. Don't sin by letting anger gain. You know when it starts gaining control over you? All right, you start saying stuff, you start doing stuff, you start, you know, it's gaining control over you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. 27. NLT connects 27 to 26, for anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. Fear does also. Fear is faith in reverse. Faith goes, I believe God is working for my good. I believe things are working. I believe everything's going to get better. I believe. So that faith activates the power of God, activates things on your behalf. That's faith. What's fear? It's faith in the reverse. Oh, things are going to get bad. Things are going to get worse. Something's going to go wrong with us. So it is a force that actually also can activate the power of the enemy. It gives room for the devil. It gives room to the devil. Anger also. The more we create that room for anger, the devil tries to fight. And this is the Bible, not anybody's opinion. For anger gives a mighty foothold. It gives him a landing spot, a foothold, a landing spot. He now has room to land his leg. He has a foothold now. He gains that ground. And guess what? This guy wants to gain more and more ground. Okay? So who are you yielding to? What are you yielding to? Do you know it takes a whole lot for someone to slap someone else within a church service? It would take a lot. No matter how mad you are. You could maybe walk out of the service or something, because the environment itself has a way of restraining and restricting such, you know, things. But you get, you know, maybe to a bus station, you know, somewhere, you know, where people drink and all. It's easier there. Why? Environment aids such. Anybody noticing where I'm going to? The environment of the church service wouldn't allow that. Oh, no matter how infatuated you are with somebody, you can't get up within a church service and then jump up right beside the person and start kissing the person right in the service. No matter how you feel, that environment just doesn't allow it. But if it was a pub, a club, a nightclub, something, the environment allows it. Environment. So the stronger the environment we create, all right, the easier it is. So if it's an environment that allows spiritual things to thrive, it'll be easier to flow and to function. If it's an environment that allows evil things to thrive, then they will did you get this, please? Anger gives a foothold to the devil. But we see in scripture also fear gives a foothold. Jairus had come to meet with Jesus and he said, hey, my daughter is sick to the point of death. Jesus said, I'll follow you, come to your house, minister to her. On their way, the woman with the issue of blood, as we call her, she gets a healing. She's sharing her testimony. They continue the journey to Jairus' house. People show up from Jairus' house and say, trouble not the master anymore. Your daughter is dead. Jesus, Bible said, immediately turned to Jairus and said, be not afraid, only believing. Did you get that? Jesus looked at Jairus. All right, thank you. As soon as Jesus heard the word, let's see what he said, you know, 35. You know, thank you so much, Abraham. You know, so Mark 5:35. All right. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain that said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble thou the master any further? Okay. So they said, Jesus was there, he heard. So as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. As he didn't want the seed of the words they sowed to be planted, Jairus accepts it, door shut. Jesus is on your way to his house, and then the whole thing stops. Be not afraid, only believe. So yes, you got a negative report. Yes, when the journey began, she wasn't there, she was sick. Now it's moved from bad to worse. And how many times does the devil try to play that trick on us? It's gone from bad to worse. Or the condition is worsening. The situation is getting worse. Things don't seem to be better. They brought Jairus a case like that. Don't trouble the master. It's worse now. But Jesus maintained his stand. I'm following into your house and that girl's going to be okay. Did you get that? Be not afraid. Only believe. So fear is not an environment for the faith of God and the things of God to thrive, all right? It's not that kind. You know what? Let's just read a bit about Jairus. Let's just keep on the story. There's just something to still learn from there. Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 37 now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 37, thank you, Lord. And he, all right, suffered. Watch this. I want you to watch this now. Environment. And he allowed no man to follow him except Peter, James, John, the brother of James. See what Jesus is doing. Let's keep going. Environment. And he came to the house of the ruler of synagogue and sees a tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And then we keep going. And when he had come in, he said unto them, why make this much ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeping. 40. And they laughed him to scorn. Watch what he now did. But when he had put them all out, he takes the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, Peter, James, and John, and enters in where the damsel was lying. So what is Jesus doing here? Environment. Environment. He needs an environment for the supernatural. He needs an environment for spiritual things to thrive. Anything that will choke it, anything that will hinder it, he says no. When a Christian is in the hospital, who are the people you keep allowing to visit him or her? What kind of information do you allow him or her to hear? Environment. Environment. I know the case of a friend many years ago. The doctors didn't think he would live. He's alive, married today, and all of that. Our pastor had to carry TV. And then it was a VHS player back in those days. And put in his hotel room and he was watching word stuff for 8 hours. I mean, I said hotel room, hospital room, 8 hours every day in a hospital room, VHS, and then TV. Now you got phones. You could go to YouTube. You can control your environment. You can control your own environment. And that's what Jesus, he put, even the rest of his disciples said, don't bother. I need the right atmosphere to get this job done. So you guys stay back. You three come. He gets to the house. He tells them. The people laugh. All of you get out. I need a mother and the, you know, you know, dad right now, just we six, I'm okay. Environment. Are you getting this? So anger gives place to the devil. Fear gives place to the devil. Doubt and unbelief give place to the devil. Peter was walking on water to Jesus. And then he began to sink because he looked at the winds and waves. Just pulled him up and said, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Why? Why? It's a contrary environment. So many of us pray, and we like to pray. We like to pray, and we finish the prayer, and it's just still unbelief. Oh, God, will it get better? Oh, God, I'm hoping it will be fine. Oh, God, I just hope. I just wish. Why did you pray? I don't mean to sound insensitive. That, please, is not my intention. But why then did you pray for God to spew out that amount of doubt? And I'm just trying to say, then, you know, if you're not convinced, and thank God for Kenneth E. again, and the rest of the people that must have taught me this, you know, and did teach me this, all right? Meditate on the word. Settle this in your heart. You could even take a day or two or three to meditate before you pray. Sometimes in the place of meditation, you just realize there's nothing to pray about. Your heart is so solid and you know, settled. You're good. Meditate on the word. Hagin will teach you. Meditate on the word. Find scripture. Find scriptures that deal with your case. Meditate on it. 2-3 days if you can, before you pray. And even when you pray, still meditate. Because affliction will arise because of the word. Things would want to contest it. You keep feeling like you did the wrong things. Like you know, God led you to sow a seed, to give a financial gift, you know, to someone, to a ministry, to church or something. And then you finish and like, oh, you're a big fool. You just threw that money away. You're a very big fool. I know. And then you have to dig back into God's word. You dig back into the word. Because that you know, the devil would not just want us to rest. The thoughts will come. Even our unrenewed minds will play up. Did you get that? So we must check what exactly is motivating me. What's making me do what I do? Ephesians 4, you know, where we were before. So we could just pick from 29, just read straight to 31. 31. Yeah, 31 is fine. Ephesians 4, 29. So what room? What's influencing you? What's leading you? And then what's making you do what you do? Oh, I'm a spirit-filled believer. You mean tongue talking? Living a spiritual life is a completely different conversation. In Acts 6, they were murmuring, they were discriminating, they were doing all stuff. That isn't spirit-filled behavior. In 1 Corinthians 3, there was discord amongst them, there was malice amongst them, and Paul says, you guys are carnal, you guys are babies. All right? So we need to understand there is spirit-living and there's spirit-living behavior. So in Ephesians chapter 4, we'll just pick it from Ephesians 4, 29. And like I said, we're all learning this. I got to live a spirit-filled life. I have to drink and keep drinking. And like we said last, you know, edition, it's better to say nothing than to say the wrong thing. All right? So it's better to create the right environment. Or don't create an environment. There's no neutral most times, really. All right? But let's work on it. Let's work on spirit-filled. Spirit-filled. So Ephesians 4, 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. We all should get better here. The words that come out of our mouth should minister grace to the hearers, and there shouldn't be corrupt communication. Most songs out there, there's a bit of corruption in them. There's some have a huge, ugly corruption inside them, all right? Stuff, and then we keep borrowing language from the world and from circular music and all of that kind of stuff. I'll just say it. I'm like, hey, it is corrupt communication, all right? But you judge, just let's all stay with the word. Like Crepto Della said, everybody got issues, all right? Everybody got issues. So I work on mine, you work on yours. But this is the word, and God's word is our standard. All we all need to just do is keep growing and then growing and growing on God's word. But 30 now, verse 30. Thank you, dear Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 30, Ephesians 4, 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit by whom you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So 31, ta-na-na. So from there, we just jump to Hebrews. Yep, all good. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, let it be put away from you with all malice. Put away from you bitterness, wrath, anger. These things can drive us. So put them away. They can influence your decisions and then your actions. And then you put them away. Hebrews chapter 12 and 15. Hebrews 12, 15. Let all bitterness, and that deals with the root of bitterness. Because sometimes you don't know. You're allowing something to grow in you. And then the thing's growing and it's taking root and taking root and taking root. So Hebrews 12, 15 just helps with looking diligently. Watch this. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Watch this. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Let's see the NLT here. NLT for this particular verse, and just throw light on it. Look after each other so that none of you would miss out on the special favor of God. Watch out that no bitter root of unbelief rises up among you. For whenever it springs up, many are corrupted by its poison. Watch out that no bitter root of unbelief rises up among you. For whenever that bitter root of unbelief will spring up, it corrupts people. All right. TPT, this same verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Watch over each other to make sure that no one misses the revelation of God's grace. Make sure no one lives with a root of bitterness sprouting within them. Make sure nobody lives with the root of bitterness sprouting. It's beginning to grow. It's, you know, sprouting within them, which will only cause trouble and poison the hearts of many. And there are people who've been led by bitterness. And then, I mean, Joyce Meyer said very many years ago, hurting people hurt people. Did you get that? Hurting people, not as in people who are hurting, they end up just usually hurting other people, all right? Directly or indirectly. You just, even in the, I'm trying to just counsel and advise you. And then what you spew out is your hurt, all right? In the form of, or in the disguise of a counsel or an advice. You spew your hurt. You could even spew your fear on somebody else. You're so afraid. You're so afraid. And then you're trying to counsel someone with that same fear. Oh, don't travel like that. Oh, don't even travel. Things are not safe. Times are not. And then you're sending fear, fear, fear. It's okay to caution. It's okay to counsel. You know, but many times you and I need to know when to say it and when to hush it. Did you get that? We need to know when to say it. If you always have to advise someone, sometimes you might talk to the person about something God didn't send you to say. Right? It's not compulsory. You must say something. Sometimes you keep quiet. I'll say, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do, this is what I want to do, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I need to do, I need to do. You know, it's okay. It's okay. You know? You must understand that good people can give you good counsel, which is not God's counsel. I repeat, good people can give you good counsel, which isn't God's counsel. It's not what God will have you hear that moment. It's not God, what God will have you do that particular time. But the counsel came from good people. Oh, do it this way, do it that way, do it that way. They were meaningful. They were meaningful, but then God says, I didn't tell you that. I didn't tell you that. Face what I asked you to do. So if, I mean, you balance that up within the multitude of counsel, there's safety. So, all right. But in all of that, you must be led by the Spirit. So if your validation must always come from, no, what's God asking you to do? All right, if you're not clear, of course, God will work within the counsel that you have, but then God still intends and expects for us to mature into what exactly is his will for my life. Did you get that? Psalm 1 will say, says to us, blessed is a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So, of course, we don't take counsel from the ungodly, but then you must make sure even the counsel from the good people you get must be God's counsel. It might be good counsel, you know, but what's God saying? You don't, you know, walk in the counsel. You don't take You know, someone says, oh, relationships, oh, do it this way and do it that way. A brokenhearted person is giving you counsel. It might be brokenhearted counsel if the person is not ministering to you the word of God. If it's from, you know, it just comes from. So that root of bitterness can spew out. So what's leading you? What's guiding you? What's counseling you? And you say, how is this all spirit-filled living? Isn't it? We just read Ephesians and in Hebrews. Isn't that written to spirit-filled people? Tongue-talking people, sanctified people. Okay, so this, because at the end of the day, went back, you know, a couple of years ago when I was in college, you know, higher institution, we had amazing Holy Ghost meetings. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, amazing. And a number of them unplanned, all right, unplanned. At the hostels in our, you know, where we stayed, you know, our own, you know, place where school didn't have on-campus hostels, but there were people who built hostels. And then there were many homes that were converted into student accommodations and all of that. So where we stayed, you know, people will come and then just were talking 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and there's just a breakout. Glory to God. And don't forget, when the Spirit gets to move in, let him move. I mean, some of my friends will go pay another friend a visit. She's cooking, and then we're waiting for food to be ready for us to, you know, eat, and we just get into the word, and that's the end. We forget the food. We were there prophesying and praying and ministering to one another for 2, 3 hours, sometimes longer than that. It's amazing. But with all of that, you find that there might not be issues with, oh, but that lady had a problem with her landlady and she spoke roughly to the landlady. Oh, this person is really so blah, blah, blah in class. And then it's not adding up. It's not helping a testimony of what God would want to do. It's holistic. And that's what Paul's addressing in 1 Corinthians 13. So it's not just a preaching and prophesy and prophesy and prophesy. You know, like Ken Hagin. You know, Ken Hagin, you know, I've heard the story in a few of his teachings where, you know, this particular, I think, deacon in a church, he just loved a particular song about, you know, is there any mountain I cannot climb? Is there anything? And then he just loved the song and he'd tell him, sing that song again. You know, and then, you know, love the song and then he dances and one, you know, the church was over and then they had sang the song. There's no mountain I cannot climb and there's nothing. And then, you know, his wife told him, oh, that, you know, Junior needs a new pair of shoes, and the man just flipped off. How do I get money? I don't pluck money off a tree. Da, 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 da. And again, said, I mean, after singing, is there any mountain I cannot climb? He tripped over a pair of shoes for a little boy. And that happens to all of us. I mean, I'm sure we've all been guilty some way or the other. So we're full, but are we full, or we're excited and charged at church? But then it's not settled in yet. It's not settled in yet. It's not settled in yet. It needs to settle. Many people, you know, who've been committed workers at churches, after I just hear, I'm tired. I'm not, you know, I know. And you wonder what's been going on. And please, I believe everyone here is likely involved in a local assembly somewhere. I beg you, please. If you serve in church, people live in a house of bread and still go hungry. I've seen that over the years. You live in a house of bread and then you go hungry. There are so many believers, they serve, but they don't have time to feed. They don't create time to feed. They are active. They are serving. All right. People in the choir will get up and minister to the church, powerful songs. And the people in church are blessed. They themselves are not living in the reality of what they sang. They just told you to cast your cares upon God. Oh, no matter what happens, God will take care of it. And then evening time after church, the same Sunday they sang the song, you find, you know, this one crying and this one unhappy and what's going on? This is happening. You sang to us. You told us to cast our cares upon the Lord. I beg every one of you, don't be in a house of bread and go hungry. It's all part of the spirit-filled living. Did you get that? Woo! So what's leading you? What's motivating you? What's mobilizing you? Galatians chapter 5 and the 16th verse. Thank you, the Lord. Galatians 5 and 16. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I trust someone is learning. Please let's learn. All right? Please let's learn. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We've heard earlier from 25, if you live in the Spirit, you need to walk in the Spirit. So this I say, walk in the Spirit. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He didn't even say the lust of demons, the lust, the desires and cravings of the flesh. That's what he says. So let's quickly go from 17. To begin to talk about things that can motivate, mobilize, move us. The flesh of lust after the spirit against the flesh. So there's a leading. I want to lead you this way. I want to lead you that way. I want to lead you this way. So I want to live a spirit-filled life. Not just about talking in tongues down the road and then I can slap the guy beside me. I'm still talking kind of, but she gave it like a daughter, but she gave it. And then you see that we can do that. You know, someone is driving, talking in tongues. And then maybe someone tries to cut you off and you go, and then you're bye. Anyway. You know, you could even, you know, you could do all sorts and then you're still talking in tongues. But then it's this is about the cultivation, spirit-filled living. Did you get it? It's a cultivation. Spirit, and it's an effort. There's a commitment about this. There's a consistency about this. There's an intoxication about this. And you have to keep drinking. So it's not enough to just, oh, prophesy. And then, you know, you wanted a cab. You know, maybe there was a taxi and someone wanted it. You couldn't even tell the person, oh, you go, I'll find another one. And you just pushed the person off and jumped in and Karaboshi came, glory to God, I got a good taxi. And I'm sure God is going like, seriously? Seriously? You know, believers need to learn to be courteous. You say, how does that have to do with spiritually? It has everything to do with spirit-filled living. We'll get it in a minute. Not mean a minute, but you understand what I'm saying? All right. For the flesh who lost against spirit, spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, that you cannot do the things you want to do. Okay, verse 18 now. So flesh is pulling me, spirit is pulling me, flesh pulling me, spirit is pulling me. 18, Galatians 5 and 18. Are we there? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are we there? Hallelujah. Okay, is there hanging? I'll read from here. Galatians 5, 18. Oh, okay. Thank you. I thought someone was hanging. All right. If you are led, and I want you to see this. So we're talking about spirit-filled living. So it says, the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, that you don't do the things you want to do. So there's that tug of war. All right? If you remember tug of war, there's a rope. So this guy's pull. So flesh wants to pull this way, pull you this way. Spirit is saying, no, we're pulling you this way now. Okay. If you're led by the Spirit, then you're not under the law. There's no binding. There are no rules or anything with being led by the Spirit. Verse 19. We see the list right here. Now, the works of the flesh are, they're manifest, clear. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness. They're pulling, you know. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, and you need to take time on your own. Read these words, please. Check them. Diverse translations. I won't be able to do that anymore today. I would have loved to. Envyings, murders, and drunkenness, revelry. Check their meanings. Revelry, for instance, is wild party. So you see, you know, church person, you know, in a wild party somewhere, you know, and it's check the meaning. Check what these things mean. Some even could smoke the shisha stuff and say, you know, at least I'm not smoking cigarette. And check the meaning. It's not me preaching and, you know, bringing judgment and condemnation. But read each of the words and check the meaning. Many things sometimes in the King James is a bit blind to us. All right? It's a bit blind to us. All right? And such the like, of which I tell before, as I told you in time past, that do such things, they won't inherit the kingdom of God. The works of the flesh hinder the operations of the kingdom of God in your life. That's what they do. You would not inherit. You wouldn't enjoy your inheritance as a believer. They hinder the flow. So we can't over, you know, rev the whole thing. Paul wrote it. Paul said it. It has what it does hinder. No, let's keep going, please. Let's keep going. Okay. You know, with the Galatians 5, please. Let's keep reading. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Thank you. You're back. But the fruit of the Spirit is, and then he said, fruit of the Spirit are. So if I'm living a spirit-filled life, watch this. So I'm living a spirit-filled life. What I'm going to do is, what's happening to you? I'm spirit-filled. What's going on? I'm spirit-filled. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm spirit-filled. Even the Spirit of God is not doing that all the time. She's getting that. I say, what do you mean? He's not doing it all the time. Look at the outflow of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. The branch is the part of the tree that bears a fruit, right? So this is us bearing this fruit. So we actually could say the S there should be the small letter Spirit because we are the ones bringing it forth. But the branch is connected to the tree. The tree is the Spirit. So I still feel that it is still the fruit of the Spirit, but we bear the fruit, so for people to see. So both ways accurate. So it's the fruit of the Spirit born through my life. So look at what he displays. But the fruit of the Spirit. So I enter a place and I want to say, this is a Christian home. It's not just because they are praying and shouting and playing Christian music. There's something I see here. I see love. I see joy. You know, you say, but joy is they should be laughing and screaming and shouting. It has a place in that. There's the overflow dimension, but it's just the I'm not perturbed. I live in a state of I'm okay. You're sort of trouble all around me. The joy of the Lord is within me. When Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is our strength," it wasn't because Nehemiah was running and laughing, glory to God, all around the place. It was energized by building and rebuilding the wall. Was God's joy? God wanted it to happen, so that is what energizes us. Did you get that? The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's like you're going on outreach, you're preaching to people. You know God loves it when people get born again. That nugget of this gives God joy strengthens me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You're strengthened. You know this is the will of God about this thing. I'm going to stay committed to it. It strengthens you. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Gabriel. All right, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Oh, spirit-filled life. Yeah, this is it. Spirit-filled living. This is it. Love. Joy. Peace. All right? Are you the one who likes to hear the gist and pass it to that person? Oh, that person said this about you, and this person said that about you, and that person said about peace. Peace in situations, peace in a state of heart, peace. Long-suffering. Stickability. We could take it. We could go through. All right. And we keep learning this thing. Gentleness. Fruit of the Spirit. I don't want people to take advantage of me. I know I don't like it too. But it says gentleness. It's not stupidity. It's separate. It's gentleness. The wisdom of God always shows us exactly how to win in every situation. But the fruit of the Spirit is still gentleness. And then there's goodness. And then there's faith. Let's go on, please. All right. 23. Oh, okay. You're gone. I want to read verse 23. I need to come back here. All right. So 23 there says, but, you know, meekness, all right, and then temperance, and against such things, you know, there is no law. So there's a meekness about it, and temperance there. So check these words. I can't do that today. Check, read, and the easy thing you could also do, use Amplified, NLT, all right? You can use the Message. Just read these things. If you have a Strong's Concordance, I mean, bring it out, use it. There's always the big Strong's Concordance, but now you could get the app also, all right? And then just check the word and check, oh, so this is what this means. And then check the word again. You don't have to now try to cram the Greek word. Know the meaning and live the life. Did you get that? If you want to know the words, it's all right. But know the meaning, live your life, apply it, and live it out. Did you understand that? So back to that 17th verse, please. All right, Galatians 5 and 17. So there's a tug of war. The flesh lusts against the spirit against flesh. TPT, please. All right, there's a tug of war. So who are we yielding to? So to say I've had a spirit-filled week, meaning I yielded more to the Spirit. Watch this. For your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder him from living free within you. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your old self-life from dominating you. So then the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the Spirit and then a new creation, self-life of the flesh and new creation life of the Spirit. Of course, Bible teachers tell that the S in capital should be small letter S because it's your recreated spirit saying, I don't want that. That's not the direction I'm going. And then your flesh is saying, that's the action I want to go. And then there's a talk. I'm praying. I'm not praying. I'm fasting. I'm not fasting. I'm going to forgive. I'm not forgiving. I'm angry. I'm going to scatter everything. No, I know you're angry, but I'm going to calm it down. And then it's a talk. But the more you yield to the Spirit. Did you get that? Yield. Could you say yield? Yield. A Spirit-filled life is a yielded life. A life yielding to the things of the Spirit, to the dictates of the Spirit, to the directions of the Spirit. Without us knocking, because it has its place, you're in a church service, you go, glory to God, hallelujah, and you scream and run around the whole place. Then right after service, you were mean to someone, you yielded at the point of dancing, now you didn't yield. So it's consistently yielding. Consistently yielding. Did you get that? So we're entering gradually maybe what I'll call the final phase, you know, like our last 30-minute thereabout lap. Into this. It's all right. Thank you, Gabriel. You know, so remember, we drink and then we get drunk. Could you talk in tongues for like a minute? Just drink a bit. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Just drink up. Meno number to coffee fedeke bomb product or so mineke bomb product or so mina namanaka dodo be epedeke boroboshisha be epedeke day. Nanto rabacam product or so mean the care of Godogodo so friend and a messe. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glow rabaseke bomb product or so friend on the product or so. Nina nam product or so. Fair rabacaborocosisha be epedeke bomb product or so. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, fana na mashikebe, prorogo doso fereke, doro boshishabie, ente ike oko pronondo kuro boshishabie, deke doso. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just drink. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. And you don't get drunk if you don't keep drinking. You can't be full if you don't keep filling. You put a kettle, and I said that yesterday, you know, whistling kettle, you put it on the burner or you plug it if it's an electric kettle. If it's a whistling kettle, it doesn't whistle immediately. It whistles when it gets to boiling point. So we want to be full, want the Holy Ghost to whistle through us. And then it gets there. So back again now to Ephesians and chapter 5. Glory to God. Ephesians 5:18. So when I'm filled with the Spirit, we said, what are you yielding to now? We're talking, like I said, we're entering the last stroke of it. So yielding, spirit-led life. Don't get drunk with wine, for this is debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Spirit. Okay, so I'm filled and stimulated with the Spirit. I'm filled, I'm stimulated. So what's going to happen to me? Verse 19. Hallelujah. Verse 19 now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's just fantastic to see that the Spirit-filled life has what now? In Acts 2, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak with other tongues. All right. So Ephesians 5 and verse 19, there's a sticky, stocky stuff going on. So I'll just also read from here. All right. I'm sure you have your Bible, so we could just switch to it. Now, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19 tells us, watch this, guys, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I'm not stopping here. We're moving. I will come back in and last like 5 minutes. It's fine. It's very, very deliberate. Even in case someone's going, oh, I thought we're going to now enter. No, we need to talk about spirit filled living. And that's what we're doing. All right. Because watch this. I want you to notice verse 19, verse 20, and verse 21. And I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. You know, I've also had to, you know, I've been guilty of that a lot. There are some things we picked from Hagin, and then some of the things we just, you know, leave out. You know, just, we pick some, we leave some, you know. But Hagin taught me this, you know. He taught me verse 19 is not the only, you know, product of a spirit-filled life or when you're full of the Holy Ghost. So watch again, watch this. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, and you need to do that, and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is not just, oh, I'm washing dishes, I'm doing stuff, I'm doing the laundry, and then I'm trying to sing as I go along. No, we're talking about you're full of the Holy Ghost. Songs will come out, utterances will come out, things that there'll be a flow from you. Glory to God. Songs. And then there will be new songs, whether your choir material or not, according to you or them, you can put up a tune. It's a holy tune, a psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song. All right. The psalm could be you. And I learned from Keith Moore, you could even pick from a psalm in the Bible, say it, and then switch into just the words that come in, because that psalm can produce more psalms in you. And you just flow from there. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not all his bear. And then just flow from there. Flow. And you begin to speak into your own current situation prophetically. Just do that. Just flow right into it. Do you understand that? So psalms and then hymns and then spiritual song. I've been there. I've been at moments where songs came through my heart, not just I'm singing and I'm, you know, getting a new song in the spirit. When we sing this inquiry as well, we once again, we do too much. I got a song for the church. I got a song for the people. I got a song I'm recording. What about I got a song and it was the answer to my problem? I've been there. Everything looked dark and bleak in ministry, and the song rose up and light came and I was calm. It met the need. And you find that in the Psalms of David, in the Bible. So because it's an overflow, it's a Holy Ghost ministering to you. So psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and the church needs to learn that. We could dedicate a whole word up to that. I am fine with it. But I got to move on. Notice, number one is speaking. There's always utterance. There's always utterance. When people get filled with the Holy Ghost, there's utterance. We could just run through that quickly. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, when they got filled with the Holy Ghost, Bible says they got filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Did you get that? They were filled and then they spoke. Then in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, after they had prayed, which we read earlier, Bible said the place where they prayed was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with boldness. So Acts 2:4, they spoke. Acts 4 now, they spoke with boldness. Acts 4:8, Peter filled, he said. All right. Acts 13:9, Paul filled, he said. So they were filled and they said in Acts chapter 10 from verse 44, while Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell on them in the house of Cornelius. And Bible said they spoke in tongues and magnified God. They spoke in tongues and magnified God. In Acts chapter 19, verse 6, Paul laid hands on the people he met in Ephesus. Bible said they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Did you get that? So in every time they all got filled with the Holy Ghost, there was utterance given. So when I'm full of the Spirit, I'll have utterances. There'll be tongues, interpretation of tongues. There'll be prophecy. There'll be magnifying God, which is praise and all of that. So there will be utterances, but it's not utterances alone. There will be action, all right? In Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles amongst the people. So we see you can be full of the Holy Ghost and then there's an outflow of utterance. Then you are full of the Holy Ghost and then there's activity, spiritual energy and activity. But watch this also, because this list is part of it. So verse 19 of, you know, Ephesians chapter 5 addresses the fact that when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, there will be utterances. You will be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and you'll be singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. All right. But watch verse 20. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost, so there's speaking, now there's giving thanks. All right. For all things unto God our Father in the name of our Lord. So one is you speak to one another. You speak to yourself. You speak in psalms and hymns and spiritual song. That's not speaking to God. It's speaking. Please notice the context here. Speaking to yourselves. So you, the song I got, that one I was talking about, I've had others that minister to me. I've had other songs. I know this is a theme song for the church. I know. But this one, it was a light for what I was going through. So speaking to one another, speaking to yourselves. Do you understand that? To yourselves. But in this case, it now says giving thanks. So a life that is filled with the Holy Ghost is a life filled with thanksgiving. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, dear Jesus. 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 You're full of praise. Did you get that? If you're filled with the Spirit, you'll be filled with praise. You may not be jumping, singing, dancing, but praise never departs from your mouth. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Giving thanks. Giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the 21st verse. So there's speaking, there's giving thanks, submitting. I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. But they are spirit-filled. Yes, a spirit-filled life should be a life that people can easily get along with. If you're filled with the Spirit, then people shouldn't have a hard time getting along with you. Except you're full of yourself, you're full of your command, your power, the authority, you're full of... If you're full of the Spirit, hey, don't forget, the fruit of the Spirit has gentleness in it, has temperance in it, has meekness in it. All right? So you got to be cool, bro. Sis. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I say it as it is. When I'm full of the Spirit, I mean, it's amazing. And thank God for men like Kenny Hagin, people like Kenneth Copeland. They are prophets. Kenny Hagin is a seasoned prophet of God. I'm excited. And I'm excited, you know, about the opportunity to have, you know, access to a lot of his materials. And people all over the world, great ministers and ministries in Africa, in the Philippines, in all over the world, in Russia, I've drawn from that stream. And you don't PM, get on stage and just, I'm a prophet of God. I say, and then you want to say, well, at their defense, like, no, sometimes we still allow personality to get into the way. All right? It's a training. It's a culture. And you hear Canadian say that. And he saw the way some of that prophets behave. And, you know, you say, no. Mm-mm. All right? Still doesn't mean he was perfect, all right? So nobody has that. We're all growing. I'm sure he kept maturing until the final day. But all I'm saying is if you're filled with the Spirit, people shouldn't have a hard time getting along with you. To submit means to allow, all right? Because, I mean, next verse there, wife, submit. No, this is now verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, all right? That's 21. I was just trying to say people will now jump straight into 22 and start talking. No, 21. A spirit-filled life is a life that others can easily get along with. All right? People should... You got to get this. There has to be an overflow. From you, it comes out in praise to God, in relating with others, in the joy, in the environment you create, in the forgiveness, in the forbearance, in it's what's going on. You're tempered by the Spirit. You get that? You're tempered by the Spirit. You're softened. You're tendered by the Spirit. You're not full of yourself and full of anger and, you know, and no, you're, you know, do you understand that? Doesn't mean every believer should just go easy and dumb and darned. No. No, Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts 13 and he spoke to the sorcerer. So there's a time for that. Paul in Acts 16 got that demon out of that girl that, you know, was fooling them all about the place. So there's a time for that. But every day is not a confrontation day. Every day is not, hey, if you're not careful, you would not, it won't be the Holy Ghost ministering through you. It's just you ministering through you. Did you get that? You didn't get that? Colossians chapter 3, the 16th verse. Colossians 3, 16. Thank you there, Jesus. Hallelujah. So in Colossians 3, 16, Paul admonishing, Colossians 3, 16 is quite, you know, similar with Ephesians 5, 18. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom. So I want you to notice again, there is here intentionality and there is here consistency. Let the word of Christ dwell. For something to dwell, you have to keep it there, leave it there, it stayed there. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. So for it to be richly, it could be there sparsely or sparingly, but it was rich in abundance. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom. Watch this, teaching and admonishing one another. So Ephesians 5, speaking to yourself, now speak, teaching and admonishing one another, again in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace too. So this is like what's in you would always come out of you. So when you're loaded up with the word, it will flow out in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. What's in you would always flow out. What's in you? So what should we do? You know you should give attention to speaking in tongues. All right, let me teach you this key. In Ephesians 5, 18, and then Colossians 3, 16, please note this. When you are filled, you will speak. You notice that? You speak psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart, you know, singing melody in your heart. Ephesians 5, Colossians 3. When you are filled, you speak. To be filled, speak. Did you get that? When you are filled with the Spirit, utterances flow through you. But when you feel dry and you're just not there, utterances, give utterances, whether tongues, whether words of praise, whether declaration of God's word, glory to God. Thank you, Father. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you because you love me with an everlasting love. Thank you because all things work together. You just find that you were never in the mood for spiritual, but you began to drink and take a sip and then the next sip and then the next sip. And then you didn't stop. You didn't give up. You didn't allow the weariness and all of that to take over. I know you kept at it. You just realized that, oh, carabo shimananda. Hey, and then you start having those little sparks of tongues here and there. Kirabasabaraba. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. He that is joined unto the Lord, Kiramasa Prando, is one spirit, Kararaba. But you began with dry and draggy and dull. But then you kept on drinking and then drinking and then drinking and then drinking. And then you were filling up. Did you get that? Filling up. One favor you and I would do for ourselves, keep drinking. All right? Just keep drinking. I don't know if you've watched them. You know, what was that now? Finding Nemo. All right, just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. This one is just keep drinking. Just keep drinking. That's what we need to do. Let's drink every day. Drink. Just drink it up. So what do we do? You talk in tongues. Glory to God. All right, you talk in tongues. You could just start up. You know, but I don't feel like singing. I don't feel like 1 Corinthians 14. All right, and then, you know, we could pick it from the 14th anyway, but 15th verse, 1 Corinthians 14, 15. All right. You can decide to start off. So it's Hugo Swart said, you can begin, and I learned that from Hagin anyway. You can begin in the flesh and then end up in the spirit. Did you get that? You can begin in the, you can decide. You can decide. Hey, I'm not in the mood to pray. Some of you could just make these things feel so automatic. I just open my mouth and go, bada, 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 bada. You know, it's not like, yeah, you can. You can decide to. And the same way now, some of us have overcome that when it comes to speaking in tongues. We could go, can we talk in tongues here right now? And everybody goes, kirabashi, shishibiri, kododoboshi, gebedebe. And then someone else says, can we begin to sing in tongues right now? Some people feel, no, I can pray in tongues like that, but do I just sing in tongues like that? I need to be moved. No, you can. The same way. What is it then? 1 Corinthians 14, 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. So will here shows deliberate, intentional. all right, on purpose, all right, I will. So I could go, Kerabashi Barakadoso Freka Dondo Prodogodoso, and I could go, Kelabo Saprando Kura Barabba Shigaraba. So I says, no, I can you sing like that? It's just adding melody to your tongues, and that's what it is, bro. That is what it is. Add melody. All right, my brother, my sister, add some melody. We can. So when we're filled, we speak. To be filled, speak. Did you get that? A drunkard will drink. Did you understand? A drunkard drinks. So if you want to live a spirit-filled, Holy Ghost drunken life, then you keep drinking. All right. Number two, give attention to meditating on God's word. And that's what Colossians was telling us. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom. You've heard me teach on meditation. You could go to my YouTube channel. You find stuff on meditation. All right. At least I remember one, but I know I've preached it in. Now, another thing you could do, right? When you get the email, the word up email, there's always that audio link. All right. You, in case you've never hit that audio link button before, please do. It will lead you to an app called Spreaker. There are over like 300 of my teachings right there. Over 300 of them, all right? All Word Up sessions are there. But in 2020, I did 130 episodes of a 30-minute teaching called Daily Faith Boost, all right? The teachings I did at our church back then, I'm sure about 300. By the time you check, there are different pockets. You just go tap where my name is or something. Just play around with where it opens up for you. You find a reservoir of audio messages for real. All right. And you will be blessed. When you find those daily faith boosts, I did a 10-day teaching, 10 episode teaching on meditation alone. 10 meditation, 1 to 10. It will bless you. When you stay full of the word, it's like sponge. You dip it into water. When you squeeze the sponge, what's in it will come out. So when we're full of the word, when life hits you, Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. So it's not a church service thing. It's spirit-filled living. Spirit-filled living. And songs have a lot to do with the things of the spirit. A lot. In the book of Kings, you find where, you know, the king's there to go to battle. And Jehoshaphat was asking, hey, is there no prophet in Israel? That's in, you know, 1 Samuel. No. That's 2 Kings chapter 3. Okay, and then the 15th verse. And then Elisha said, get me a singer. Get me someone to play. And Bible said in that 2 Kings chapter 3, 15, as a singer began to play, the hand of God came upon Elisha, and then Elisha prophesied. Now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played, the hand of God came upon him, he began. So music has a lot to do. It's beautiful. Create such environments around you. To get drunk, you drink. To get drunk, you drink. To get drunk, you drink. All right. We find also the case of David. All right. The demon spirit was disturbing King Saul, and they found David to play music. And each time David played music, the demon spirit left. Isn't that telling us something? And in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, the Bible says they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said. They were drinking and then they got drunk. All right. In Acts 13, verse 2, they ministered to the Lord. As they ministered to the Lord, you could do that in the car. You could do that in a bus. You could do that quietly on your bed or quietly on a chair somewhere. You could. Bless the Lord. And then I'm raising my voice in case someone might not hear me, but you could go quietly as they minister to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, all right. And how did the Holy Ghost speak? Obviously, one of them there prophesied, one of them there. All right, the Holy Ghost says, separate from me, Barnabas and Paul. So someone could have said, I have a word from God. Okay, I'll put it out. Oh, glory to God. Whatever it was. And he bore witness with them. But they were ministering to God. They were drinking, and they got drunk. All right, so we've talked about to get drunk, you drink. So give attention to singing. Be on your own and sing in tongues. talk in tongues. Then meditate on the word. Meditate on the word. Then don't forget atmosphere. Create it. Create that atmosphere. And most importantly, yield. Did you get this, please? Most importantly, yield. A spirit-filled life is a yielded life. You sense in your heart, give something to that person over there. And you know it's the Holy Ghost, yield to it. And then your flesh goes, do you remember how much you got? Do you know how much you're going to have left? Yield. You sense your heart. Well, you don't even need to sense in your heart. Forgive. It's clear in the word. I mean, giving to is clear, but sometimes there are instructions. That's why I gave that example. Forgive. Then forgive. You yield. But then the flesh wants to hold on to bitterness and anger and then malice. And the more you yield. So the spirit living, that living a spirit-filled life is living that yielded life. Yielded life. It's a life yielded to a point where we now open more to the wisdom of God on how to deal with cases and with people. I don't know about you, but I know about me. You get into the era when you want to deal with the matter with, I'm not going to take it. I'm going to deal with it. And then you get into the wrong, because the Bible makes it clear that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. All right. Did you get that? That the wrath of man. All right. That's James and one. You know, we got the meaning for that. So James tells us, I mean, so important. First is you need to be quick to hear, and then you're slow to speak, and then you're slow to wrath. Why should I be slow to wrath? Because if you're quick to respond to everything happening to you, you're gonna make a mess. You're gonna just put up a big blunder, you know, about the whole stuff. Let me just hallelujah. So James chapter 1 and then the 19th verse. Wherefore, my beloved brethren. Okay, thank you. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and then slow to, you know. So even when you hear it and it's not going down well with you, slow down the response. It will help you with the next one. You'll be slower with the anger. You'll be slow to get angry. Then did you get that, please? Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. If you're quick to hear or slow to hear, you didn't understand it well, but then you reacted, you were quick to speak, you'll be quick to get angry. Verse 20 now. Hallelujah. And it's just so simple. Your anger cannot make things right in God's sight. All right. What I quoted earlier was King James, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. All right. Your anger can never make things right in God's sight. Thanks, Gerald. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. When you're angry, you're going to mess up. I've been there. I don't know about you. I can talk about me. So the spirit-filled living is a yielded life. If you didn't get anything, you get that. You've got to get that one. You need to be yielded to the word, yielded to the spirit-filled living. And people shouldn't have a hard time getting along with you. You're yielded. So go back again and read about the fruit of the spirit, works of the flesh. He didn't call it the works of the devil. Did you notice that? Then God, the works of demons. Are the devil and demons involved in that? Yeah, same with God and the Holy Ghost and all them involved. But then there's what your spirit is saying. Hey, I'm a new Christian. I'm going in that direction. Your flesh is now, I got to go in that direction. All right, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Could you sing in the Holy Ghost right now? We can, we can, we can, we can, we can. I will pray with the spirit. I will yield. So we can. Let's drink. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, just sing. Kina nam brodasha. Mina nam bradagadara boshi bradadabosharabasa. Mendala brodondo kurabaka manamanda. As they minister to the Lord. Kia boshi manda. You are good, you are good, you are good. Iniando kam brodagarase. Meriebo brondo pusha brando kariase. Menonam brodasa mon brodogoduso. Mindia logodon frenina casa. Oh, your mercy is forever. El alambro ro si mi anda cabasa ba. Que el alambro si gabambro ro gorosa. Menanambra se gabom praragadasa. If I was alone, I might be lower than this, but I need to raise my voice, like I said earlier. Hey, la bosa ni gabasa. Oh, you are good, you are good, you are good, you are good, you are good. You are good, you are good. And when there's a word rising in your heart, a spirit-filled life is yielded life. So you just yield. It comes out as prophecy. It comes out as a word of encouragement for yourself. Oh, you are good, you are good. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm facing, I thank you because I've got the victory. Hallelujah. I've got the victory. And then you just yield to it. It will come like a thought. Everything will be well. Then you sing it or you say it. Voice it out. It's utterance. You say to be filled, you speak. When you're filled, you speak to be filled. You speak when you're filled, you speak to be filled. You speak, give out utterances. And from there, there'll be action. You're going, and after you feel like standing or a thought, a revelation, or just this thing is going to happen quickly. You just get on your hatch, you go, whoo! And then you want to run, get up quickly, run quietly, not to disturb anybody, sit down again. Then it's producing action in you. A spirit-filled life is a yielded life. You yield. You don't allow your thoughts to, you yield. A spirit-filled life. You yield to the word. You yield to the leadings of the spirit. You yield to the things of the spirit. You give more and more attention to the things of the spirit. To get drunk, you drink. To get filled, you feel. You feel. To be filled, you feel. So fill up. Every day, fill up, take time. If you got drunk in the afternoon, doesn't mean you're drunk at night, you drink again. If your gas tank is full now, if you keep driving, it's going to go low. But we need to be filled. It means we need to be drinking. We need to be filled. We need to keep drinking. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Que para la pan prerogodo si viara basa, mempra rosa manando, quero nombre de gede si barabarabara, que la balabase baralaba. You could be doing that and then trouble starts bothering you. Will it work? Will it not work? Then go to the word. He will keep his mind on him. He will keep in perfect peace. He will keep in perfect peace if I keep my mind on him. If I keep my mind on him, so I keep my mind on him. I was going to make a mistake there, correcting myself. Don't be, okay, I'll tell you a quick joke. You know, someone came out in a church, you know, and then gave a word. But, you know, he said, as Daniel led my people out of Egypt and captivity into the, you know, promised land, so am I going to lead you. Saith the Lord God. And the person went to see that and realized, oh, it wasn't Daniel, it was Moses. And then came back and then said, I, the Lord thy God, make it a mistake. It was Moses I intended to say. I mean, there's nothing like that, all right? Oh, it's just that. So glory to God. Glory to God. If I keep my mind on him, if I keep my mind stayed on him, he keeps me in perfect peace. So I keep my mind on him, I keep my mind on him. Because as you talk in tongues, your mind can go to rice and beans and cloth, and then what to wear to work tomorrow, what to do, and then your mind is dancing, but then you bring it back. Glory to God. If I keep my mind on him, you know, and it could be any other thing. It could be the Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. So this, I noticed from experience, when you do understanding from time to time, it helps to stabilize you. I mean, I could do spirit for a while, but you could do understanding and then stabilize so that your mind is being fruitful and then is engaged. I will pray in the spirit and pray with my understanding also. I will sing with the spirit and sing with my understanding also. I will flow with you and walk with you. I will go with you, God. I will go with you. Every step of the way, for there's more for me to see and more for me to know. More for me to see, more for me to know. Bigger and better waits for me. And I go with you, God, every step of the way. Baby, new song. A new song, somewhere in your heart, a new song, a new song, a new song. Drink, and then keep drinking, and then flow, just flow, and then flow, and keep yielding. A spirit-filled life is a yielded life. Yielded to the Lord, yielded to the Word, yielded to the Spirit. A spirit-filled life, a consistently spirit-filled life is a life consistently, you know, yielded. Joseph didn't have all the outward flows like spirit of might, like a Samson, but it was a spiritual life. It was, I mean, in the Old Testament context, if you get me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. All right, so gotta run. Glory to God. Praise God. Anybody blessed in this house today? I mean, you've been taught well, you've been edified. Glory to God. So please, I'd love you to get to my YouTube channel. You want to keep praying, you can pray. Or just take a quick announcement, then we could go just sing in tongues a bit, but I'll just take a few announcements if you don't mind. All right, please, I'd love you to get to my YouTube channel. Please, there are loads of videos there. You find a lot of recent ones. We have our Bible study here. It's on YouTube. So you see all of that, you know, but then you see a whole lot of old teachings I have done. I've actually run a series, you know, about a four-week series on spirit-filled living, you know, sometime 2 years ago. Also, you find all of that, you know, thank you. You find all of that, you know, so just visit the website. All right. There are videos, teachings. These will bless you. Please, 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 please. These will bless you. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel if you haven't, and kindly encourage other people to subscribe. If we subscribe and share and do all of that, it will travel more and be a huge blessing. Okay, two people, and I said this, I want to encourage you, please give, all right? Please, if you go to the website, lionrexinosia.com, there's a giving portion there. There's a partnership section there. We're still putting together the whole partnership department and structure and all that. But there's a giving structure there. You could go and then give, and then you find account details there. There's PayPal, which you could see right on your screen. There's a dollar account, and just side that there's a GT Naira account, a GT Bank. So just, I mean, be a blessing. Just be a blessing. What Up is free. What Up will continue to be free. If we have guests, we've had one guest last year. We endeavored to give a good amount of money, and it was in dollars. So it's fine. We believe a lot in giving, but Word Up is free. So yeah, please be a blessing as you propose in your heart. Giving is what God will have us do. But you determine how much it is or what you feel the Lord is asking to do and how consistent you say, okay, I'm blessed in Word Up every 2 weeks. I'll give every month. I'll give every quarter. You know, all of that is up to you. Okay. So praise God. So thank you. You know, praise God for being a part of this. We could just take a minute or two, maybe two, if you don't mind, two more minutes and just sing in the spirit. Drink up. Pila bam brodon predo godosi manana banta. Ki abalabasa. Pi abo shigabasa. Mam brodo godoso. Mina balagadoso. Piele gebo shigabando kura baradabasa. Mandere debo shigabasa. Mendara labo shigabasa. Mande gebo shigabasa. Mindere gebo shibarasa. Maria poro she shembro rogorosu, shenge geboshu, ki barobo shondo, Ki prarabaso mengarabo santa ga prorogodo. Ayuda, 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 ibaram prorogodo simianda. Andege boshu, I yield my thoughts to the right kind of thinking. Ayuni mamam prorogodo shibarata. I yield my words to the right kind of speaking. I yield my actions to the right kind. Imanam pro shigabando. Enonusobam praragadas, mem praragadas. Man prorogodoso, min praragadasa, men karabadasa, man prorogodoso, ken praragadasa, fem praragadoso. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just yield, right? And the blessings of God will flow, and the blessings of God will follow. And you would enter days of increase, days of increase, days of marvelous increase, because by yielding, you increase yourself and your opportunities to flow in the greater blessings of God. You increase your opportunities to flow in the greater grace and the greater blessings of God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. So keep drinking, and keep being filled, and a whole new world of opportunities will keep opening up to you. Things, depths. Depths you never thought were possible, depths you never thought were available, and you would see them, and you would access them, and you would walk in them and say, if I'd known, I would have done this a long time ago. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, thank you for this additional word. Thank you for everyone, every hearer, every person watching right now, later. Thank you for your many, many great and marvelous, marvelous, rich, rich graces that you flow out and pour out on us. Thank you because our lives bear great and mighty fruit. Oh, we're never the same. Always getting better and improved in every way. Thank you for me improving. This gets me better. You changed my life. And thank you for the privilege you've given unto me to be a blessing to my brothers and sisters. Thank you, dear Father. We give you praise. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you. So see you. So we're talking about the foundations of a successful prayer life, foundations for successful prayer. It's in 2 weeks. You get the email, you don't, please search. Help me check everywhere you can. All right. Check your spam mail, check promotions, check everywhere. Sometimes things could hide in some of these places, but please, foundation for successful prayer. It's going to be rich, all right? And yeah, invite people, you know, let's do that. Yeah, love you guys. Bye.